The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parshas Bahalei Sichah. In the beginning of the Parsha, the Torah tells us, Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe l'mor. Hashem spoke to Moshe to say, Daber el Aaron v'amata elov. Speak to Aaron and say to him, Bahalei Sichah es aneres el mul p'nei amaneiro yiru shivas aneres. That when you light up the candles against the front of the menorah was the candlestick, this was in the Mishkan, in the sanctuary, Yoyiru Shiva Saneros, the seven Neres shall give light. The Pasha begins with the Avoda of the menorah, the mitzvah of the menorah. There's a Mishnah in Mesechta Oves, Perek Dalet, Mishnah Tes Vov. Reb Shimon Eimer, Shleishik Sorim Heim. Reb Shimon said there are three crowns, Keser Torah, the crown of Torah, Keser Kuhuna, the crown of priesthood, Keser Malchus, and the crown of kingship. These are the three crowns. The Gemara in Masechta Yuma and the Medrash. The Gemara in Yuma's Ein Beis Omed Beis. The Gemara elaborates. What does it mean there are three crowns? And we have spoken on this many times in the past, which tonight's shiur will not be on this subject, but we will just make mention of it, that there were three kelim, three vessels in the sanctuary that had a zer zohov, a golden crown. And these three correlated with three crowns that were given to Klal Yisrael. The first one was Keser Torah. This was represented by the Oren HaKodesh, which was in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. This is where the Sefer Torah was kept, and the Luchais, the tablets, crown of Torah. Then there was the Keser Kahuna, the crown of the sanctity of the priesthood. And this was represented by the golden crown which was on the Mizbeach, the altar, which was in the Kodesh. And then there was the Keser Malchus, the crown of kingship. This was represented by the Shulchan, the table. See, the Mizbeach is the sign of the Kahanim, because the main avoda, the main services in the Beis HaMikdash was done on the Mizbeach. The Shulchan was the sign of power and wealth. Shulchan Malochim, a table of kings. This represented the crown of kingship. These are the three crowns. And the Gemara in the Medrash elaborates that Kohuna was given only to Aaron and his seed. Kingship was given only to David and his seed. Torah was given to everyone. Kol Haretze Yovev Yitol, whoever wants, let him come and take. It was not exclusive. Shema Tamar, maybe you'll say that since the others are exclusive, generally an exclusive club is a higher caliber type of club. Shema Tamar, maybe you'll say that the others are greater. Now, Talmud Lema, that Keser Torah is greater than the other two put together. And this is why it was in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, in the Most Holy of Holies, while the other two were in the Kodesh. And we also elaborated many times on the Bir HaMaral. The Maral explains that there are three parts to the human being. There's the guf, the physical body. There's the nefesh. This is the life, spark of life, which is in him and has to do with all of his emotions and so forth. And then there's the seichel, the intellect. And each one of these crowns is the perfection of each one of these elements of the body. The kahuna, the priesthood, that represents Kedushas HaGuf, the sanctity of the body, because a Kohen is born into Kedusha. He's Nolad. He's born and he's Kodesh. And we see also that the Torah was very particular about the body of the Kohen. For example, if the Kohen had a mum, an imperfection, a physical imperfection, this would disqualify him from certain services in the Avodah, in the Beis Hamikdash. The Malchus, this had to do with the Nefesh, because the greatest motivating factor, the leader of the body, is his force of life and his emotions. And this was parallel to the crown of Malchus. And the Seichel, the intellect, this had to do with Torah. So these are the three crowns. But now the Mishnah tells us something further. It states, V'chese Shem Tov Ole Al Gabehem. There's a fourth crown. And that fourth crown is greater than all the other three. And that's the crown of a Shem Tov, of a good name. There's a medrash that the Maral brings from Parshas Nosei, which says, where was the fourth crown in the Mishkan, in the sanctuary? In the States, that was the menorah. The Maral himself is of two minds whether this medrash is actually from the medrash or it was a later addition. But nevertheless, it's there. And the Vilna Gaon, in his commentary on Ovis, also writes, Kesher Shem Tov, that's indicated in the menorah of what we are learning now. The menorah represented a fourth crown, the crown of a good name. And not only was it a fourth crown, but it's Eila Al Gabehem, it was greater than the others. Now, let's give some thought to this. What does it mean, a good name? Firstly, we have to define what we're speaking about. It would seem a good name means a person of a good reputation, an honorable name. Today we would translate this to mean that a person has a very good CV, good credentials. He has good professional qualifications. That's what a good name means. Then we can ask some questions. Firstly, why is this so praiseworthy? Everybody wants a good name. Everybody runs after a good name. Actually, you have people who will do every underhanded trick in the book in order to acquire a good name. This is popularity. Is this actually Al Derech HaEmes, when we look at it through the perspective of truth, like the Torah always looks at things? Is this actually something which is so praiseworthy? To the contrary, we see Redifus HaKovid Meitzines Odom Min HaElam, people that pursue honor. That's one of the three things that drive a person from the world, it states in the Mishnah Novus, Akina Vataiva Vakovit, envy and desire and the pursuit of honor will drive a person out from the world. And also we see that someone who pursues Kovit, HaKovit Borchin Himeno, that someone who pursues honor, honor runs away from him. So why should this be considered so praiseworthy? And also that we should say that this crown is greater than the other crowns and even the crown of Torah. We know Torah is a Talmud Torah Keneged Kulan. Torah is the greatest mitzvah and the greatest level. Another kasha, another question we can ask. Shlema Melech, King Solomon, in Keheles, Perek Zayin, right at the beginning of Perek Zayin, writes, Tov Shem Mishem Tev. A good name is better than good oil. Yem Hamoves and the day of death, miyayim hivoldei, is better than the day of birth. Two questions on this pasuk. He tells us that a good name is better than good oil. Here we're talking that a good name is the best thing in the world. Shlomo HaMelech says it's better than a good oil. We're saying tov shem. Shame tov ale agabehem. Good name is the best thing in the world. It's better than the crown of Kiddush's kahuna. Better than the kahuna which was given to Aaron. It's better than the malchus which was given to David. See? Better than the royalty which was given to David. It's better than the Torah, the crown of Torah, which was given to Moshe. Now Shlomo HaMelech comes along and says, a good name is better than a good oil. It's a lot better than a good oil. That's one question on this pasuk. Tov shem yishem and tov. Then he says, v'yem hamobis miyayim hivoldei. And the day of death is better than the day of birth. That's also something that needs explanation. Why is the day of death better than the day of birth? But what we're more concerned with, what does it have to do with shem, mishem, and tov? He's telling us in one breath that a good name is better than a good oil, and the day of death is better than the day of birth. What does that have to do with a good name? Firstly, so this is what we're asking. A good name would seem popularity. A person has established himself a good reputation, which everybody wants to do. That's very good. But how can we equate that with these three crowns that were given to Klal Yisrael and say they're even better, and even better than Keser Torah? And this seems to be, then a person should pursue it. We're not supposed to pursue honor. And what did Shlomo HaMelech mean? Firstly, let us define what do the sages mean by Shem Tov. Shem Tov, a good name, it means a name of Tov. Tov is not something which is used lightly in the Torah. The word Tov means goodness at its ultimate. For example, the Gemara tells us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nikra Tov. The Almighty is called Tov. Tov Hashem Lakol. He is good to everyone. States his Torah is called Tov. Tov Li Teres Picho. The Torah of your mouth is good. It states Israel is called Tov. Moshe was called Tov. When they saw him, Vayara Yelet, they said Ki Tov. He was good. So firstly, when we say Shem Tov, we're not speaking about a person who has established a reputation merely because he's popular, merely because of other reasons why one is popular. He's popular because of his wealth, or he's popular because of his strength, or he's popular because of his wisdoms, or he's popular because he's famous. Now to the contrary. On that, the Novi, the prophet said, Al Yisalel Hagibor Bigvurosoy. The strong shouldn't praise themselves for being strong. That's nothing to praise oneself for. Just someone who's a good athlete today, he can attract 200 million people on television. The Novi said, Al Yisalel Hagibor Bigvurosoy. Don't. The strong should not praise themselves because of their strength. Viha Oshir. And the wealthy should not praise themselves in their wealth. That's nothing to praise yourself over. And he who has many wisdoms, that's nothing to praise yourself over. That's not called tov. strength is not good. We don't find the word tov on strength or on wealth or on wisdom. Tov, the word tov is referred to the Almighty, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to the Torah, to Moshe, to Yisrael. Tov means someone who is in the ultimate good. What does it include? It includes these attributes that are good. For example, it includes someone who is chesed. He's kind to others. Emes, he's truthful. Yosher, he's upright. Yiras Hashem, he fears Hashem. Tev labrias v'tev lamokam. He's good to people and he's good to Hashem. V'chohen arabes. This is what Tov means. And this is what the Novi, what the prophet says. So what should a man praise himself? Ki im v'zeis yisalo v'odom. Ki im v'yodei Hashem. Through his fearing and closeness of Hashem. That's what he should praise himself on. So firstly, we have to define what does it mean, Tov? In English, we would classify then a Shem Tov as a truly honorable person. A person of honor, of utmost honor. He's upright, he's kind, he's good, he's trustworthy, he's truthful. He fears the Almighty. So that's the first thing. This is what we mean when we say Shem Tov. And this is something to honor. This is something that people should give honor to. Nevertheless, and everybody wants such a name. And everybody should try very hard to acquire such a name. Not because people will be mechabed him. Not because people will honor him. We're not supposed to pursue the honor. But in essence, a person should pursue that his name is a name of honor, of true honor, not a false popularity like in the world we live today. This is a crown which is worthwhile pursuing. So this is the definition. Now the other question. Yes, it's worthwhile pursuing, but why is it such a great crown? Why is it a crown even greater than all of the other three? And this is omuk mio. This is very deep, a very deep subject. And we'll try to explain it the best we can. In this world, there are many acquisitions, which we call kinyonim, acquisitions or ownerships. For example, there are physical acquisitions, wealth. There's strength. These are acquisitions that have to do with the physical world. The fact is, the body itself is an acquisition of the person. This is an ownership. The person owns a body. He has hands, he has feet, he has eyes, he has ears. This is an acquisition. Can heaven forbid it can be taken away from him. Chaim, life itself is an acquisition. He has a hold on life. He was given life. There's times when he has it, and there's times when he must relinquish it. It's a kinyan, it's an acquisition. Then, that has to do with the nefesh. Then there are acquisitions that have to do with the intellect. For example, wisdoms. Torah. Torah is an acquisition. We call it Kinyan Torah. The acquisition of Torah. Kovod, honor is an acquisition. So these are all types of kinyonim, of acquisitions and ownerships that a person acquires in this world. Now we can ask a question. If these are kinyonim el ha'odom, acquisitions to the person, so who is the person? Who is the person? There's an ownership and there's an owner. There's an acquisition and the one who acquires it. If life itself is an acquisition, And if the body is an acquisition, and strength and health are acquisitions, and wisdoms are acquisitions, these are ownerships. But who is the owner? These are acquisition kinyonei ha'odam. But who is the odam? Who is the odam? The odam atzmai, the essence of the person. This is something which is totally nele min ha'ayim. This is something we cannot see. Acquisitions we can see, but the person himself we cannot see. Actually, it was always a question by the philosophers and the later generations, by the psychologists and the psychiatrists. What makes up the person? How do we identify the person? For example, once mentioned, can't be the body is the person, because now with transplants you can take an arm from one person, from A, and give it to B. And that doesn't make B A. A is still A, Reuben is still Reuben, and Shimon is still Shimon. You can take Reuben's kidney and give it to Shimon. Shimon still remains Shimon, even though he has part of Reuben's body. And then we see further, even the heart. We can take Reuben's heart and give it to Shimon, replace Shimon's old heart with that. Now Shimon doesn't become Reuben. Shimon is still Shimon. Then there was once a medical story written. It was a medical paper that they have dreams one day, perhaps they will even be able to transplant the brain, see, or the head of a person. How they say they're very far from it, very far. But in principle, maybe it'll be possible. So then the doctors ask themselves the questions. If we take Reuben's brain and transplant it to Shimon, will Shimon remain Shimon, or will he be Reuben? If Shimon remains Shimon with Reuben's brain, so then what made Reuben Reuben? You took his heart from him, you took his brain from him, you took his kidneys from him. And still you say, that doesn't change Shimon's identity, so then what makes Reuben Reuben? So this is an old question. Well, the answer is that the essence of the person, the identity of the person himself, the sages tell us, that's something which is totally concealed from the eye. The reason why it's totally concealed from the eye, because it's something which is totally bilti gashmi. It's not physical. Because anything that's physical is a kinyan, an acquisition to him. These are all ownerships. So therefore the owner is something, himself is something which is totally concealed from the eye. And all of the kinyonim that he has, all of these acquisitions he has, are merely for a certain amount of time. There can be a time when he'll have to give them up. For example, life. He's here for a certain amount of time, 70 years, 80 years, whatever it might be, 90 years, 100 years, but then he'll have to give it up. But the person himself does not die. He gives up that acquisition of life. But he existed before the life, and he will exist after the life also. So then who is he? So our sages tell us that that's the Ruach Hashem, the Spirit of Hashem, which he imbued in the person. Vayipach ba'apo of nishmas chai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took a... HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a person by giving him a part of his spirit. And to that spirit, he gave all types of kinyonim, all types of ownerships. He gave a body with arms and legs and eyes and ears. And he gave it life. And he gave it health. And he gave it strength. And he gave it material ownerships. And he gave it wisdom. And so on and so on. So we have two dimensions. Kinyonim elo odem, acquisitions to the person, and then odem atzmai, and then the person himself. Now, all acquisitions that a person makes in this world, they become like a garment to him. Just like a person puts on a garment, all of his kinyonim, his acquisitions, also are like garments to him. And they all add to him, one way or the other. Some affect him a little, some affect him a great deal, depending on how close they are to him. Some have a good effect on him. Like you put on a garment that makes a person look better. Has a good effect on the person in essence. Others can have a bad effect on him. Like you put on a garment that makes him look worse than he was before. And this is what's called milos. This we call milos. That they all add dimensions to him. This is in the physical realm. So is it in the realm of Kedusha, of sanctity. There are also kinyonim, acquisitions, in Kedusha. And they also have an effect on him. Each one accordingly. And they also add milas, dimensions to him. What are some of the kinyoni Kedusha? What we mentioned. For example, Kohuna. Kedusha's Kohuna. The sanctity of the priesthood. This was an acquisition that was given to Aaron and his children. And it has effects on them. It gives them a Maile Yeseiro. It gives them a new dimension. Kedushas Malchus, the sanctity of royalty, which was given to David and his children. This is a kinyon. This is an acquisition. And it has effects on them. It gives them a new dimension. And so, the sanctity of Torah, the kinyon of Torah. This is an acquisition. And it changes a person. It has an effect on him. And it gives him a Maile Yeseiro, a new dimension. Now, as we mentioned, though, it's not necessarily so, though, that each kinyan will affect the person or affect him to the good. For example, we'll see that there could be a kohen and he's a rosho. This is an enigma, but it's true. There could be someone who has the sanctity of Aaron, Kiddush's Kuhuna, but he's a Rosha, he's a wicked man. You could see that there could be someone who has Kinyan Malchus, he was given royalty, he's from the family of Dovid HaMelech, yet he's a Rosha. All of these are facts, these have happened historically, they happen all of the time. Or you could even see someone who has Kinyan Torah, but nevertheless, he's a Rosha. It's happened. People become great in the wisdom of Torah, but they're not a good person. Why is that? So that's according to what we said. Because these are kinyonim acquisitions to a person, just like a garment is to a person. But the question is what will the garment do to the person himself? Sometimes it won't have any effect on him whatsoever. Sometimes it will have a great effect. Sometimes it will have a good effect. Sometimes it will have a bad effect. Now we've defined that there are two dimensions in the human being. There's the kinyone odom, the acquisitions to man, the odom atzma, and the person himself. And they work at separate levels. Acquisitions is what is given to him. Many things are given to him by birth, are given later in life. Many he acquires himself. The Odom Atzmoy, that's the one who acquires these things and who's affected by them. And he's affected in different ways, depending on his relationship to his kinyonim, to his acquisitions. When we want to know what a person acquired, then we can go and see for ourselves. We want to know how much money he has, you call in the accountants. You want to know how strong he is, so call in the gymnastics, the gymnasts. You want to know how wise he is, you call in the professors. When we want to measure his kinyonim, then we have ways of measuring his kinyonim. When we want to measure the person himself, what is the measure? That is measured by what type of name he has. Because it states, Hashem Meira Ala Etzem. The name is the identification of he himself. We're not talking about a name that we gave him at the Bris Milah, Reuben Shimon, Levi Yehuda, but by his reputation. What type of reputation of honor does he have? We have a principle, Hashem Meir Ala Etzem. A name is a label. Well, what kind of label is it? It's an identification. It's an identification of the very essence. So when we want to measure acquisitions, that we have yardsticks to measure. But when we want to measure Ha'odim Atzmai, the person himself, the one who has acquired all of these things, how do we measure? He himself is Bilti Gashmi. He himself is totally abstract and divorced from everything that's physical. He was an identification that HaKadosh Baruch Hu placed in this world. So how can we measure him? Mahu Adam? What is he? Who is he? That is by Hashem, by his name. By what kind of reputation does he have in the world or to others, but in the light of truth? And this is what the Tanna tells us. He says that there are many things in this world that a person can go and take for himself or is given to him. The three greatest acquisitions are the three crowns. The sanctity of the Kedusha that was given to Aaron and his family. The sanctity of Malchus, of royalty, which was given to David and his family. The sanctity of Torah, which every Jew has the potential to acquire. Of these three crowns, Torah is greater than all of the others. But yet, there's a further crown that's even greater. Keser Shem Tov Ole Al Gabeihem. And that's what type of name does of the person who has acquired different things in the world, what kind of name does he have? That is greater than all of the other crowns. Because the others are merely acquisitions. It doesn't mean what or how much it has done to the person. Greatest attribute is the person himself. An example, you'll say, what do you mean? Here, this person was given the greatest sanctity. He's a Kohen. He's a Kohen Gadol. Historically, there have been Kohanim Gedolim, high priests, who were Rosh Hashanah. They were wicked men. This means the acquisition was there, but it did not affect he himself. He did not assimilate it and make it where it became part of he himself. So it was a garment that he was wearing, but did not truly adorn the person. And he can put it on and take it off. But there's the sanctity of Malchus. We had kings that were mighty, powerful kings, but evil men. That sanctity didn't affect them. But what about Torah? There's a medrash that says Talmud Chochem Shein Le Das, a person who's very wise in Torah. It's possible. Possible many, many times that people become very wise in Torah. But it has a little effect on them. It says a Talmud Chochem Shein Le Das, a Talmud Chochem that is wise in Torah. But still he himself lacks this wisdom. It says a carcass of a dead animal is better than him. This is what the Medrash says. There's been time where there have been great Talmidei Chachomim, people great in Torah, and they became Rishoyim, they were wicked. So therefore the Tanna is telling us that amongst all of these acquisitions, these are the greatest crowns. But the ultimate greatness is what it's made from, the person. And that is determined through his Shein Tov, through his name. The Mishnah in Masechet Ovos, another Mishnah. The Mishnah says as follows. It's a Mishnah in Perek Beis, Mishnah Zayin. Who are your Eimer? He used to say, this is referring to Ram Gamliel ben Eish Reb Yehuda Anossi. He would say, Marbe Bosor, a person who eats too much meat, Marbe Rima, he's going to cause sickness to himself. Marbe Nechosim, a person who has too many physical possessions, Marbe Daiga, he's only going to cause anxiety and worry for himself. Marbe Noshim, a person who has too many wives, Marbe Kshofim, he's only going to bring more sorcery and witchcraft into his house. Marbe Shvoche is a person who has too many maidservants. Marbe Zima, he will only add promiscuity in his house. Marbe Avodim, a person who has too many slaves. Marbe Gezel, he's only going to add theft to his house. Now these are five things that are mentioned. These are five things that it's not good to be Marbe. It's not good to have too much. It's good to have. Very good to have. A person should eat meat. And he should have property, and he should have a wife, and he should have servants and so forth. This is very good to have, but not too much. This is what the Torah tells us. All right. Now it states another five. Marbe Torah. If he has an abundance of Torah, Marbe Chaim, he's going to bring more life into his house. Marbe Yeshiva. If he has an abundance of Yeshiva, that means a Beis HaMedrash, where people sit to learn Torah, Marbe Chochma, he's going to bring an abundance of wisdom into the world. Marbe Eitzo, if he has an abundance of Eitzo, of wise counsel, well, he gives out the counsel of the Torah, Marbe Tzfuna, he's going to bring more understanding into the world. Marbe Tzdoko, if he gives out an abundance of charity, Marbe Sholom, he will add an abundance of peace in the world. Kona Shein Tov, Kona La'atzma. And if he acquires a good name, that he acquires for himself. So we have five and five. The first five, an abundance is not good. The right amount is good, but not an abundance. The second five, an abundance is good. The Maral explains why. He says the first five have to do in the physical world. They're all talking of physical levels. That, you need the right amount, the perfect amount. Too much is the same as too little. No good. The second five is speaking in the spiritual level. And the spiritual level, there the more the better. The more Torah the better. The more yeshiva the better. The more wise counsel the better. The more tzedakah the better. Now, the tenth is Kona Shein Tov. If you add to a good and honorable name, like we described what it meant, that's the tenth, and there it states, not only is it good, but kona la'atzmai, you acquire it for yourself. Now that refers to what we're speaking about. Everything else is an acquisition, everything else is an addition in an acquisition of a person. But a Shem Tov, where he adds to his, to the honor of his name, that's not an acquisition. There he's adding to the person himself, to the, not to an ownership, not to the acquirer, not to the acquisition, but to the acquirer himself. Kona Shem Tov, Kona La'atzmai. And also the Maral brings out that that's the tenth. He says, Gemara always says, Asiri Yekodesh, that the tenth is always something which is totally abstract, totally sanctified, totally divorced from anything physical, because that's the Shem Tov. The shame represents the person in essence, which is totally divorced from anything physical. He says, for example, in the Esa Dibres, where and there you have nine commandments and one. There the one is the first, not the tenth, but that's Anechi Hashem Elokecha. That represents the essence of the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I am the Lord your God. While the others already are more physical. The same thing over here. Now, we can understand what Shlomo HaMelech was saying. Shlomo HaMelech said in Keheles, he said, Tov Shem Mishem and Tov. A name, a good name, an honorable name, that's better than the best oil. We asked, well, what's he telling us better than the best oil? He says, you're telling me it's the best thing in the world, and it's even greater than the other crowns. So for sure it's better than an oil. And then it states, V'yem ha'moves, v'yem huvolde. And the day of death is better than the day of birth. What does that have to do with this? Shemen, oil, he's not, Shlomo HaMelech was the Chochem Mikol Odom, he was the wisest of all people, so when he wrote very deeply. Oil is not only something which is very good in the physical world. Good oil, a good olive oil, is something which was even precious in the physical world. But oil always represented something. It represented a Maile Yisera. It represented an extra dimension, a super dimension. Firstly, it states Lahatzel Ponim Yishemen. Lahatzel Ponim Yishemen, it states Shemen brings radiance to a person. See, now this already we're talking of a dimension in a person. Radiance is an extra dimension in the person. And it states Shemen Yitzor. Shemen was called Yitzor. Yitzor means light. So oil always represented an extra dimension. But we see also in sanctity, we have a principle that called Dovah Shebikdusha, we were Mekatshin, Mechandchin, Mekatshin B'Shem. All things that had to do with Kedusha, with sanctity, we would anoint them and inaugurate them with oil. For example, the Kahanim. When the Kohanim first entered the service of Kahuna, they were anointed with oil. Malachim, when a king first entered the service of royalty, we anointed him with oil. Today, yet, that comes from us. Today, the Lahavdil, the Goyim, have that custom by English royalty. They anoint them. That comes from our Malachim, our kingships. Kliyam Ishkon, when it came to the sanctuary, the new vessels, you have to anoint it and you inaugurate it with oil. Because this was the sign that it rose to a super dimension of sanctity that it didn't have before. A Kain, a new Kedusha. A Melech, a new Kedusha. Kli HaMishkot, a new Kedusha. So Shemen always represented an additional, a super, an extra dimension in sanctity. Now this is what Shlomo HaMelech is saying. He's saying, Tev Shem, Mishem and Tov. A good name is so good that it's even better than what you anoint with oil. All of the extra kinyonim that certain individuals get that others do not have. For example, the crown of priesthood, or the crown of royalty, or even the crown of Torah. All of the extra kinyonim that you would give people. And this was represented, this was illustrated and represented through the Shemen HaMishcha, through the anointment of oil. Tov Shem, Mishemen Tov. Even the best acquisition, a good name is better. Why? For the reasons that we gave. Now we can understand the second part of the Pasuk. V'yem hamoves miyem hivoldei. And the day of death is better than the day of birth. Why? If the greatest thing that a person can acquire in this world is a good name, when does he have a good name? The day of birth or the day of death? The day of birth, he has acquisitions, but he doesn't have any name whatsoever. A child is born, immediately he has acquisitions. Now you'll say, how can he have acquisitions? He's given life. He's given a body. Child has rights. This is in courts all of the time. Courts say a child has rights. Civilization must protect him. The Torah says that you kill Tinek Ben Yema is the same as you kill a person who's 70, 80 years old. A mature person. There's no difference between killing a mature person or a Tinek Ben Yema or someone who's 1 hour old. Even a fetus has rights. This is a big issue in the courts. A child has rights and a child has acquisitions. Once he comes out of the womb of the mother, he's about. He has acquired life. You're not allowed to take it away from him. If you take it away from him, you're a thief and a murderer. He's acquired a body. Can't go take his limbs from him. He's acquired wealth, possibly. A child that's 1 day old can inherit. A child is an hour old and his father dies, heaven forbid, he can become a wealthy child. So the minute someone comes into this world, kinyonim he has, acquisitions he has. What kind of name does he have? He doesn't have any name yet. Doesn't have his name, he hasn't proved himself. When a person dies, he relinquishes all of his kinyonim. He's got to leave everything behind him. There's ein malavin odom, nothing goes with man. Not lekeser velezov, not his gold, not his silver, v'avonim tevis, not his good, his precious stones, v'magolias. So what goes with person? Ela Torah ma'isim tevim v'lvad. In other words, his name goes with him. He himself leaves the world, but all of his acquisitions he leaves behind. So the Shlem HaMelech is saying that if Tov Shem Yishem and Tov, if a name is greater than all of the acquisitions, even those extra dimensions that are represented by the Shemen HaMashuach, the anointing oil, so then Tom Yitev Yem HaMoles Miyem HaVolde, so then a day of death is much better than a day of birth, because a day of birth you have plenty of acquisitions but you have no name. But the day of death, you don't have acquisitions, but you have a name. You're leaving the world with a name, with what you achieved for yourself in this world. And Rashi brings in this posuk. He brings Nol de Miriam, Eina kol yodim, Mahi. When Miriam was born, she had no name. Nobody knew who she was. Meso, when she died, Nistal Kaber. When she died, all of a sudden, a spring of water that gave forth enough water for 600,000 males in the desert for 40 years. And all of their wives and their children, there were millions and millions of people in the desert. And they all lived with water in the schus of Miriam. When we didn't know this until Miriam died. When Miriam died, then the well disappeared. Another example he brings, V'chein Aaron ba'amud Anon, V'chein Moshe b'mon. When Aaron was born, he wasn't anything special. He hadn't proved himself yet. When he died, then the canopy, which covered Klal Yisrael for 40 years in the desert and protected them from everything, disappeared. Moshe was born, he hadn't proved himself yet. When he died, then the mon that came, fell in the desert for 40 years, disappeared. So we see that b'yayim hi voldei, a person is nothing. He's potential. He's all potential. He has acquisitions. But he himself is nothing yet. When he dies, that's when he made himself into something. And therefore, if he leaves with a shem tov, if he achieved, and he leaves with a shem tov, then tov yom hamoves miyom hi voldei. This is what Shlomo HaMelech says. Now the Medrash on this Pasuk elaborates. And I'll mention a few points that it brings with the explanation from the Maral. It says, Shemen Tov Yerid V'Shem Tev Eila. Good oil, when you pour it on someone, they used to pour it on someone's head when they would anoint him, it would go down over his face. So it goes down. A Shem Tov, a good name, goes up. What does this mean? When you take the Shemen and you put it on the person, it goes down. When you take acquisitions and you give it to the person, even the best acquisitions, like the Kohuna, or like Malchus, or like Torah, it's a Yerida. It's going down because it's coming from a higher world and it's going down. Shem Tov, but if a person makes something from himself, in other words, he takes these acquisitions and he assimilates it in himself and he makes something of himself, well, that becomes elevated. That goes up. Because then all of the Torah or the Kedushas Kohuna that's in him will be elevated. So therefore, whenever you put oil on someone, it goes down. But when a person increases his good name, that's going to elevate him and everything else that he has. Shemen Tev L'Shaitai, Shem Tov L'Olam. Shemen Tev Kolo, V'Shem Tev Eino Kolo. Oil helps only for a certain amount of time. This means that even the dimension you give him, there's a time it'll end. A king will die. A kohen will die. A Talmud Chacham will die. But Shem Tov never dies. Because this, you're speaking about the essence of the person, and the essence of the person is not related to anything that's physical. And only something physical dies. This is why we say that when the person dies, he doesn't die. His kinyonim, his acquisitions die. He loses his hold on life. His body that was given to him is taken away. His money that was given to him is taken away. He loses his acquisitions. But the person himself, the Ruach Hashem, the Spirit of Hashem that he HaKadosh Baruch Hu put on this world, that's there forever. That was there before and it's there later. The question is what did he do with that spirit? How did he affect it? How did he change it? That's what's going to go. That he takes with him. Because that he doesn't take with him, that's he himself. The rest he loses. So therefore that's forever. While the Shem Tov, but everything that's represented by the oil, no, that ceases. Shem Tov Neig B'Chaim. You can only anoint someone who's alive. Shem Tov Neig B'Chaim U'Mesim. But when it comes to a good name, that's not only by someone who's alive. You take, for example, history is full of people with good, honorable names that have been dead for hundreds or thousands of years. Mordechai will bring in a minute from David HaMelech. Avraham, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Va'agad lo shemecho, I will make your name great. Who hasn't heard of Avraham? Avraham lived, is dead already for thousands and thousands of years. Yet who hasn't heard of Abraham? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'll make your name great, and it went from one end of the world to the other. But to anoint someone, to give him these extra dimensions, that you can only do to a live person. But the person himself, that name, that has no boundaries. That's both for someone who's alive and someone who's dead and someone who's been dead for thousands of years. His name lives on forever, if it was a Shem Tov. Shem Tov Bashirim, Shem Tov Banim Bashirim. Sometimes good oil only goes to the wealthy, but good names has no distinction between the wealthy or the poor. There's no limitations. Shem Tov Mahalech Mikitin Letarkalin, Shem Tov Holech Misefe Ilamat Sefe. Oil has its limitations, but a name will go from one end of the world to the other. The Medrash that brings like this, Rav Shimon ben Yochai says, Shem Tov, Choviv Shem Tov Mi'oran Habris. The Shem Tov that the person has was even greater than the Oran, which carried the Sefer Torah. Now, how can that be? He says, because the Oran Habris lehalach lifnei maragim al yomim. The Oran Habris walked in front, was carried in front of Klal Yisrael, 3 days' journey in front. That's all. In other words, it was told to go 3 days' journey in front of Yisrael, because it was supposed to be out in the front. But why not more than 3 days? More than 3 days, that would be considered, it was divorced from them. They lost it. If Torah goes away too far from us, we lose it. But by Shem Tov, it states, and David HaMelech he brings. Vayetze Shem David, b'chol ha'atzeis, v'ashem nosan pach te'al kol ha'goyim. The name of David went through all of the lands of the world. A good name. There are no limitations. In other words, what the person does with he himself, and he develops that honor, that is, there are no limitations. Then it states, Shem Tov Nefel Alameis, Shem Tov. If good oil falls on a dead person, Umavish, then it becomes spoiled. The dead person, the corpse, will spoil the good oil. It'll rot. Shem Tov Nefel Alameisim Vein Umavish. But a good name on a dead person is not affected. What is the meaning of this? If you take good oil and you put it on a dead person, the body of the dead person will cause it to rot. This is telling us that if you take the greatest dimension and you put it on a person who's not good, he will cause it to rot. You take the sanctity of the kuhuna and give it to a rosho, he will be mechalal, he'll desecrate the sanctity of the kuna. You take the sanctity of the malchus of royalty and give it to a rosho, an evil man, he will be mechalal, he will desecrate the sanctity of royalty. You take the sanctity of Torah and give it to a rosho, he will desecrate the sanctity of Torah. But on the other hand, a Shem Tov, when a person has a good name, because that's from he himself, then no matter what happens to him, if he's alive or dead, it never becomes desecrated. If he has a good name, because the other was to the person, and this is the person himself. Then it states, Shem Tov Nofel Alamayim V'Niduach, Shem Tov Nofel Alamayim V'Nediduach. It says, if oil falls on a fish in the water, it becomes washed off. But a good name doesn't become washed off. Again, many times you give someone a dimension of sanctity, but they remain unaffected from it. That's the same. We have the expression, it's like water off a fish's back. Same thing. It says, if you put oil on a fish in water, it's the same as water off a fish's back. Doesn't affect them. Many times you will learn Torah with someone, and it's like water off a fish's back. Unaffected. A Kain, unaffected. A Melech, unaffected. Because these are all milers coming to the person. So it depends what the person himself does with it. But a Shem Tov, but once a person has a good name, which represents the person himself, that cannot be unaffected. That will never be washed off, because that's the person himself. Then it says further, a good name, a good oil will fall into the fire and it'll be burnt. But a good name will protect one from the fire. What is in the Medrash brings a moshul, an example. It states, Omar Bihuda Ber Psimen Matzina Balei Shmontev Shemetev Nichnas Alamokam Chaim V'Yotzeim Srufin. We find a case of people who were Shemen Balei Shemen Tov. Who is this? So it brings from Nodav Aviyu. Nodav Aviyu, they were Balei Shemen Tov. They were Kahanim. And they went into a place of life and they came out dead, burnt. The oil didn't protect them. Their dimension of Kedusha did not protect them. On the other hand, we see Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. They went into a fire and they came out alive. Their Shem Tov, their good name, protected them. Because that was they themselves. This is what is meant when we say Talmud Chochom, Shem Be'das, Nevela Teve Emenu. A Talmud Chochom that has no Das. Das always represents Chibur. Das, the sages tell us, represents a Chibur, an assimilation, a bond, a connection between the person and the wisdom. If a person learns wisdom, or even studies wisdom of Torah, but the Torah remains outside, and it does not become part of he himself, so then it's an acquisition like other acquisitions. And he can lose it. And that's a Talmud Chochem Shein Ve'das. A Talmud Chochem that doesn't have Das, that means a chibur, a bond to what he learned. It has not affected him, it has not changed him. And that's not Keser Shein Tov. That, Nevela Teve Beno, that's the same as a dead animal. Just like you take what's wrong with a dead animal, because the life was taken away from him. Same thing here. This Torah is merely an acquisition, an external acquisition, and it's not worth very much. This is what the explanation is. It's very deep, as I mentioned, in Keser Shem Tov Ola Gabehem. How important it is for a person to have a good name. We say in the true perspective, though. Not popular, but where he has a reputation of being an honorable person, an upright person, a person of deeds, a person of chesed, a person of tzedakah, a person of yiras Hashem, he fears Hashem. This is the greatest mila a person can have, because then it means all of the kinyonim, all of the crowns which he has acquired has become part of him. And this is he himself. And then there's no gavul, there's no limitations to this. Also, from here we see how important it is for a person to protect one's name. That's why we were commanded many places in the Gemara that a person, it says, Hoyonikim. A person must keep his name good, not only before Hashem, but before people also, which means he should not do things which bring him to suspicion. I'll just quote one case that the Gemara brings on this. This is where it's not speaking where a person has enemies who are going to criticize him under all circumstances, because then it's brought you have to do what's right. But we're speaking where you should never unnecessarily bring yourself into suspicion where it might damage your name. The Gemara brings in Yuma, Daf Lamed Ches Omer Aleph, B'nei Aftinas, Ho Yubikim B'maisak Torus. There was a family called Aftinas, and they were experts in making the incense for the Beis Hamikdash. And this was a great wisdom that no one knew. Lei Rotzu L'Lamed, and they didn't want to give the secret away. They knew how to make it. Val Dovezeh Maskino Yisei L'Shvach, and the Chachomim always praised them. Shema Eilem Le'yotze Kala Mivusemes Mivotehem. That whenever one of their daughters got married, and they would, a kala, would put on the finest perfumes, they would never allow one of their daughters to wear any perfume, even when they went to the chuppah, in order that people should not say they were using the ktoris, the incense of the Beis HaMikdosh, for their daughters. To fulfill what it states, that a person should protect his name, to make sure it's an honorable name, his reputation is honorable, not only before Hashem, but before people also. And from here also we see, just like we see the great importance of an honorable name, we see from here the great avera of bimetze laz, Meitzi Shemra or Loshon Hora, when people speak Loshon Hora, or they defame, which is common today, all of the time, newspapers and so forth, where you defame someone's name, because this is his most precious acquisition, because as we mentioned, this is not only an acquisition, but this is the identification of who he is himself.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.